Welcome to the Profitable Nutritionist Podcast, where your host and fellow nutritional therapy practitioner, Andrea Nordling, teaches you how to grow a sustainable, impactful, and consistently profitable health and wellness practice by following her proven formula.
All right. Good morning. I'm so glad that you're here today and that we can talk about growing your nutrition practice, all of the growing pains and all of the exciting celebrations along the way, which you have lots of, and I know we're going to dive into. So before we jump in, I've already introduced you, but can you introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Yes. English Goldsboro, owner, operator, soul entrepreneur of The Nourishing Tree. So NTP, board certified holistic nutrition, work with couples dealing with fertility issues.
Yes. Yes, you do. Have you always done that? I was going to ask this a little bit later on, but maybe we'll just dive in and start there. Has that always been your niche or did you start more general?
No, it's always been definitely one of those rare cases. I think that I never wavered, didn't have interest in wavering, haven't had interest in wavering. I knew before even day one at the NTP program that that's what I wanted to do. So
oh, that's so cool. Okay. So I don't even know the story. You got to take us back and tell us, how did you decide to get into holistic nutrition? How did you choose that program? Like bring us back in time. Give us some dates and tell us the story.
Okay. So I've always been interested in health and wellness. And I think then I came across Eat the Yolks by Liz Wolf. And maybe the Big Fat Surprise. There was something in there where I started learning everything we learn from the government is false. And it just spoke to me that what we've been trained is so wrong. So I started getting involved with that, learning through those books. And then at the same time, I was learning to be an Ironman coach, a short stint in that business.
What time frame is this? Like what year would this be?
I would say 17, 18, somewhere in there. Long story, I had my master's in school counseling, didn't like the school system, but like the politics of that was just not for me. So of course that kind of speaks to why I think the government stuff is crap. So Ironman coach, because I thought that would be a good health and wellness type thing. We took a van trip for 4 months, living in our camper van, traveling out west, hiking all the national parks. Came across another book, of course, because I like to read. And I think I caught an NTA live on Facebook with Emily Schramm, because Liz Wolf's an NTP. And then I looked it up and then I found out Emily Schramm was going through the program through like Instagram stuff, right? So I caught that and I think we were in Vegas. And I said, oh, well, now's the time as any. And I signed up for it. So I think that at the same time, I had read a book by Kate Shanahan and she talked about fertility and stuff like that. And it just stuck.
Yeah. You were like, this is what I'm going to do. That is so cool. I can't remember in Eat the Yolks, does Liz talk about fertility and food like specifically in there?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that was more the book with Kate Shanahan, Deep Nutrition. She talks a lot about fertility in there. So it was kind of like this web that was weaved with NTP. What is that? Emily Schramm. Oh, the NTA. And I think it just came up enough times that I said, why not? Not going to be an
Yeah, I asked that because I was thinking, like, I don't know that I would have even made the correlation. And I had babies by the time I found that. I don't even think I would have made the correlation that nutritional therapy was something that would be useful for fertility. So
it's probably a blessing, right? That you didn't have to find that out.
It's true. That is true. Very, very true. Oh my gosh. Okay. So this is like 2017, 2018-ish.
Yes. So 2017, I think, is when I started dipping my toe into it. And then 2018 is when I started with the NTA.
Okay.
2018. Yep.
Oh, got it. Okay. So then would you have graduated in spring 2019?
Yep. June-ish.
Did you start your business right away?
No. Yes, but no. I mean, yes, with the things that I shouldn't have done. No, with the things that I should have done. I mean, if this video never makes it, they'll never see this. But the first thing I did was find my office space and start paying rent and renovated the space and started paying for all the things that I didn't need to start paying for. And then said, I'm only going to take practice clients who will not pay me until 2020.
Okay, so tell me about that. So you started with practice clients, like you were afraid to charge them, or that was an intentional decision?
It was intentional. Yeah, I put a post out and said, hey, I've graduated here in a couple months. So I even prolonged it, right? I said, okay, I graduated in June. Starting in September, I want to take on X amount of practice clients just to make sure that I know what I'm doing, get my systems in place.
Yeah.
I just needed to.
So I love this. Actually, I love that. I mean, I think you made a decision that you like, this is what I'm going to do. You did it. You executed. I think that's much different than being afraid to charge people.
That's fair.
You know? Yeah. 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 Okay. So
I wanted to see. I mean, I think I just had so many friends that had gone through fertility issues and I had seen how much they had spent. And I did it. I knew it worked, right? Like you see the instructors that are doing the same thing. You read the books. I was like, I need to see if I can make this happen. So I took those people on.
So about how many practice clients do you think you worked with? I'm just curious.
I started with 5. They all didn't make it through. You know, some people just, they start the process and then they ghost you and they disappear, which is fine. They came back later and they had to pay me. So yeah, it worked out. But about 5, 3 that really, 4 that really stuck to it.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Okay. So you worked with those practice clients in your lovely office.
Yes. Which is so I spent beautiful. Lots of money on.
And what would you do? Like, I can't wait to hear what happened in the future, but like, what would you tell someone that's just starting out that just graduated that you learned from that period of time?
I definitely diddled around with the stuff that I didn't, you know, I make sure all my forms look really good. Make sure all my handouts look really good. Make sure I have my folder system. Like, I don't have clients. That doesn't matter. I don't need that. I can create those things on the fly. So I spent time doing that. I definitely, not that I regret this, but I definitely was a little naive and thought that the first paying clients I was going to get was going to be a couple's in-person on Saturdays fertility program, which, you know, shoot for the stars, but with no credibility, it's hard to get couples to come into my office on Saturday with a group.
Well, obviously you overcame that. So I don't know. Is that true? Like at some point people started working with you.
Regardless. I mean, I don't regret it, but it was kind of like, you know, instead of crawling and walking and then running, I just decided to go for a marathon. I don't regret it. It is, but you know, it just is fine. I don't get disappointed if things don't work out like they're supposed to work out. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was just interesting. That's what I chose.
Yeah. That's a really good point though. I would say in having coached you for a long time now, I would say that that's totally true. You like really don't take things personally. You're like, okay, this was the plan. We're adjusting the plan and we're moving forward.
Yeah. You can't dwell on it. If you sit there and you dwell on it and you get disappointed, you're never going to move forward.
Totally.
I've spent so many hours doing things that didn't pan out, but you don't get attached to it. Just let it go. Move on.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Okay. So you work with those practice clients. You said that was like end of 2020 or
end of 2019.
Okay. So then what happened?
Yep. I had started doing actually more continuing education stuff. So learning the GI map and stuff like that. Slowly started taking on clients at the beginning of 2020. And then, you know, all of that stuff happened. So, you know, people are like, I don't know, I think I'm going to lose my job. So I can't pay you all this money because I probably won't have any money. So it was slow, but I honestly think it was probably going to be slow regardless of pandemic or not. I mean, it's just the beginning of business. It's just how it goes. So things kind of just trickled on through 2020. And I kept my other job, which was probably a mistake. I kept my bartending job. So I had cash coming in and I was tired all the time. So did I put my best effort into my business and putting myself out there and telling people about this? I didn't. That was probably one of the biggest mistakes.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I could see that both ways. I think like we have to know our own personality and our risk tolerance. Some people have the risk tolerance to be like, okay, I'm quitting my job. I'm going all in. And other people are like, nah, I'm just going to remain comfy and not panic about my financial situation by easing into this. I don't think there's a right or wrong for that.
I kept my job and I had a lot of savings. So I think it held me back from realizing that I needed to do this as a career. It was like a job. I think you call it a jobby. It was kind of a jobby, right? Like I considered it a job, but what am I going to do this week? Probably nothing.
Okay. Okay. So that's the mode you were in. I'm curious, what were you charging at this point?
Ooh. I think I probably was still in the phase of feeling really guilty for charging people. So when it breaks down, I probably was charging about 100, 120 a month.
Yeah. Something and spending so much time with these clients.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, nothing right or wrong there, but you obviously have learned from that and do it a little bit differently now. So I just wanted to get some like baseline numbers there.
That's every now and then somebody will reach out and be like, hey, we talked a couple years ago. Can we just do what we talked about? And I know for sure it's going to be a no, but I just out of curiosity want to go back and see what did I offer them? What was that offer I gave them? And it's halfway funny, but it's halfway cringeworthy to see like, oh, I was going to work with both partners and do all this testing for and work with them for 6 months and charge the couple $100 a month. What in the world? Good thing they didn't take that. I don't know. Here we are to charge more. So.
Okay. So tell us how your business kept growing through the pandemic and all of that, like to the best of your recollection. I know that it's going to be so useful for people to listen to this and to hear, because really that wasn't that long ago. I mean, it probably seems like it was a really long time ago when we think about it in this context, but it really wasn't.
It wasn't. Because you start to go back and look at what was this year? What was this year? It's like, oh, that's the amount of years I have. That's it. Okay. I think it kind of just snowballed with, I just kept at it, right? I kept talking about things on social media, whatever, if people aren't signing up for things, if they're not engaging, you just keep doing it. And then eventually somebody that would see it wouldn't need me, but somebody else that they knew did. So then they would refer on and then you get them really good results and then they refer on. So it just kind of webs out as far as the clientele goes.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so hard to see that in the beginning to know that the effort that you're putting in is going to compound, but it really is.
Yes. And I think we've talked sometimes, the clients that I have, they started following me a year ago, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's the long game. It really does take a while for them to decide, okay, it's time. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
But you just have to keep going and not give up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause we never know. We never know what that moment is going to be in someone's life where they realize the pain is too much. Now I need to fix this problem. We never know when that is. That could just be tomorrow for them. And it's just a Tuesday in our world and they circle back and are like, I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Totally. Okay. So you kept going. It snowballed. All the clients were coming. And then that must have just kept going through 2020. I know that you joined the Profitable Nutritionist Program, I think, in like late summer 2021.
Yep.
So what happened? So like, I know kind of from then on, but before that, like, how did that go?
You know, sometimes I try to think about lineage-wise, how did I get from point A to point B? I wasn't tracking, so I don't know for sure. And you know how sometimes you just have that feeling, oh, that was just luck. That was just luck. And it wasn't. But you think it is, so you're not really paying attention to what's happening. And then all of a sudden you look back and you think, oh, wow, how did I get to where I am? Like things are going really well. So I don't know for sure. I mean, I know when I joined the Profitable Nutritionist in September 2021, that's the first time I had really tracked metrics. So I started going back and looking because I think I joined when there was the 3K in 30 days challenge. So I knew I was already making that. So it wasn't going to be a 3K challenge. So I wanted to see realistically what I could set it at. And I went back and I looked at that year to see what I had been doing and averaged it out and realized I'd had a 10K month back in March and had no clue. Like no clue.
Oh,
I wasn't tracking.
I didn't know this. That's cool.
I didn't know because I wasn't tracking, had no clue. I knew about that time. That was probably the first month where I didn't have to transfer money from my personal bank account into my business bank account to pay all the bills. And I hadn't had to do that since. So I knew there was something that had changed. But when you're not tracking, you don't know.
Yeah. Why were you not tracking? Did you just like not want to know? Or was it just everything else was more important than doing that?
I think I probably just assumed because every time a credit card bill was due and the rent and all that, because I was having to transfer money from my personal account into my business bank account, one, I should have tracked that so I could have paid myself back, but I didn't. I would like to go back and like reverse all that. But I think I just knew like I'm in the hole. So, and I'm not paying myself. My business isn't, you know, surviving on its own without my savings. So I just thought, I'm just going to.
Don't look at that. Yeah. I think that that's just so interesting to look at and to kind of reflect on our mindset about money and about investing in our business. That's why I ask about that. I just think it's kind of fascinating to look at the patterns.
Yeah. Which I'm going into it, I think I knew I would spend more upfront. It's business. I don't think most people just open their doors, and even though that's kind of what I expected at the beginning, that was a little naive. You have to build it up.
Okay. So, that's really interesting though. So you're just like kind of went into it thinking like, yeah, this is going to be investment for a while. I'm probably not going to make a profit for a while.
I think it flip-flopped. I think at the very beginning, I thought, okay, I'm just going to open my doors and I am going to be so busy, which is why I think I took some of those practice clients, is because I wanted to be prepared for the influx that I assumed was coming. That didn't come right away. But yeah, you know, you have this niche that lots of people need. You have the know-how, you have the knowledge, you're prepared. You just overlook the fact that you need to get your name out there and kind of.
Yeah. You know. Selling is just harder than we think it's going to be. Not in that like you have to know a lot to do it. It just takes so much more repetition than we think it's going to, in my opinion.
And I didn't do any of the things that I should have done to sell myself, to sell my business. Nobody knew I existed outside of my friends. How would they? How are they going to find you on social media, on Google, if you just sit here in this office and assume they're going to appear?
But, right. Yeah. And it's not hard to market. It's just like doing it over and over and over again.
Actually doing it. Yeah.
Turns out you have to actually do it.
Yeah.
Turns out when you start your own business, no one else is going to market for you really, which is a bummer. It'd be great.
You just think that everybody's going to come flooding in the doors. And they will eventually, but you know.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about when they did start flooding in the doors. And how did your offer change?
They are now.
Yeah, they are flooding in the
door. But so, you know, sometimes I still think, oh no, they're not. Because I mean, you know this from talking to me. I keep moving the goalposts, right? So my ideas of what it can be always are expanding. So it always feels like I'm not there.
So you always feel like you're behind. Yeah, we're very similar in this way, in the way that our brains work. So we talk about this a lot. And for anyone listening that has a similar tendency, when you are aware, like, okay, if I did this, then now I can do this. Holy shit. That means I can do this. And then, you know, the world is very big and the possibilities are endless. And then it feels like you're behind, or it feels like where you're at right now is tiny in comparison to really where you're at right now was your stretch goal not all that long ago, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's why I definitely have to go back and remind myself of like what we're doing now, like reminding myself of how it incrementally it came up. So definitely, you know, March of 2021 was the first time I stopped using personal money to pay for business things, joined the program in September, started paying myself for the first time ever in November.
I remember that.
That felt very nice to finally start giving myself a paycheck for sure. I did that this past year. I've increased that. So I increased my pay at the end of this month. I don't know when this will come out, but it will be my first profit check that I write myself. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Because I did profit first stuff.
Yeah, profit first. Little plug for profit first. If you're wondering how you know what to pay yourself and when, read the book Profit First. Big fan.
Yeah, and that's why I increased my pay too, because I did the profit first stuff and I thought, oh, my business can actually support.
Yeah. So I was going to go back and ask you when you did in November 2021, when you decided to start paying yourself, what was the thought that drove that action for you to start paying yourself?
I think one, I was now looking at metrics. So I was seeing what was coming in and what was going out. I saw money just kind of piling up in my bank account. Not that it's, you know, hundreds of thousands or anything, but it was going up and all the bills were being paid. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to start paying myself. I deserve this, right? This is my career. And I knew for some reason, if there wasn't enough of money in the account, then you just don't pay yourself. But I went into it trusting the process that there always will be. There will always be enough money in there to pay myself. If not.
Yeah. And I bet there always has been.
There has not been, knock on wood, a time that I haven't been able to pay myself. So
I'm so excited. Okay. How have your offers changed? Because I really think that you are such a good example of incrementally growing your capacity to like to imagine what's possible for your business, but also to deliver to your clients at like a higher level. And I've seen this in you. You're like, I'm charging this. This is my offer. And then it's like gotten a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And I just like, I know that that's so valuable for people to hear that you don't have to start off at where you're at now, which I'm sure we'll talk about your offer now, but it doesn't have to start there and you can incrementally get to that point. Yep. So
yeah.
Do you want to tell us about the progression of your offers and if that has streamlined at all?
So definitely had offers that were about grabbing little bits amounts of money without the long-term stuff. So I thought, okay, well, if I don't feel confident enough to ask this person to work with me for 6 months, 3 months, let's just start with a month. So I had the fertility fast track program that was either with couples or by themselves. We did testing and we only worked together for 30 days. Which I found out very quickly that was enough time to get them good results, but not enough to their goal. So it was good enough that they thought, oh, I don't need you anymore. So they wouldn't sign up for more, but it wasn't enough to get them to their goal. So they were just stuck in this limbo place. And then months would pass by. They weren't following the recommendations anymore. The progress subsided. They slid back into what they were before. So business-wise, that wasn't great because, you know,
I think so many people do this. I love that you're saying this. I think so many people do this. They're like, I just have to get people in initially and then make that exact same mistake of getting like getting them to the point where people are noticing results and they're thinking, okay, I'm good. I got this, but it doesn't actually help them long-term and they don't actually have it long-term. And just like really evaluating that as in your own practice and seeing, no, it's not actually in service of them that I only charge them for this small amount of time because they're not getting the results they actually want and yep. need.
And then it makes the reselling and the re-upping tricky, which I'm sure I did not execute that well. I know I could have done that better at the end of the first month, selling them on re-upping, but it does make it very difficult when in such a short amount of time, they have felt so much better. They're like, oh no, I don't need you. I'll come back if I do. And you know, so much time. And then they have to re-motivate themselves to take that step that took them 2 years to take in the first place. So it's, yeah, it's not in service of my business and it's definitely not in service of them because I need them to get the results to refer more people to me. So yeah. That didn't work. So I did away with that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Everyone needs to go back and listen to the last 30 to 60 seconds, like on repeat over and over. Repeat that. That was so good. So, so good.
It wasn't like, and I've definitely found myself doing that quite often where, okay, well, I get the vibe that they don't want to spend the money. So I'll take this test out of their package or I'll take the months down to less months. And I instantly regret it because I know we need that information or we need that amount of time together. So I've just done them a disservice. I've done myself a disservice. And now we're stuck in this place of what's going to happen? Can I reverse this? So I've definitely made a note to myself to stop doing that. Whatever my initial reaction was, they need it. Don't go back on it. So I think I started changing things into more time. I did a group program with couples that was about 6 to 8 weeks. But again, it wasn't looking into enough. They were all getting pregnant, but they weren't being able to stay pregnant. So a huge, you know, place there that I could have improved things. I haven't done that again. Not yet. Anyways, I think in the future it could work, but just differently. I definitely did a couples quickie type thing. But again, I just kept finding the same things where we'd get to the end and then I was having to talk them into more testing or talk them into more time together. And it felt funny for me. I didn't like it. So, you know, when we met up, I think it's been almost a year now, last January, and you started, you know, having all your friends that were at your mastermind come over and you're like, tell them how much you charge. And then everybody just gawked at, oh my gosh, why are you charging pennies? It's like, okay. Yeah. And then we talked about being the 10K practitioner for a couple's fertility program and started birthing itself from there.
It did. Okay. So here's what happened to catch everyone up. So I knew that English is in Louisville and I was going to be in Louisville for my mastermind. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to be in Louisville. This is in January. As you may imagine, there isn't a ton to do in Kentucky in January. It was like raining and gray. So I was like, hey, we're going to be, you know, like I'm staying for 2 days after we're done. You should come for coffee. We should meet up or something. So she came for coffee. We had never met in person, but she came for coffee. We were sitting down and a bunch of my other coach friends that I mastermind with were there. And so we were, I just think this is so fun. Like we talk about money. We talk about goals. We talk about offers. You know, it's like all a very baptism by fire type of a situation if you're not used to this type of conversation. So I was having some of my coach friends come over because we were talking about English as offer. And I was like, this is a 10K offer. This is a 10K offer. And she's like, I don't know. I don't know about that. So I was having my, you know, some of my friends come over and I'm like, ask her what she does. What do you think she charges? And they were like, oh my gosh, at least 15. Oh my gosh, at least 20. So it was so fun to like watch the belief level in real time to be increasing, which was so fun. Yes. And yeah, that was last January, 2022.
Yeah. So slow process for me to morph it. I think at the time when we talked before we came up with that offer, I was charging couples $300 a month together, which I now charge, you know, one person $400 a month. So quite the difference in the year. So I think I'd gone back and forth and I believe I had a 6 month 10K program and a 15K year. And the year was if they weren't pregnant within that year, I gave them their money back. But through that kind of realized people committing to a year is a lot just because they see the year, they think it's going to take a year. It's hard to commit to that. So that's, so, you know, that went away. Now we have the 10K program that it's the Big Fat Positive program. They either get pregnant in 6 months or they get another 6 months on me. So the money isn't exchanging back to them, but my time is. So it's still super valuable.
Super valuable. And such a change from like, I just watching you sell this offer has been so fun because watching your brain work in like selling it and in your conviction around why this is the best offer for them has been so good. But let's, before we do that, like, let's go back to the end of 2021. So just a year ago, were you not at six figures or like really close to six figures for 2021?
Yeah. So 2020, I wrote down 24,000 is what I did, which honestly, even looking back for that being the first year in business, even though I felt like that was small potatoes, it was like, that's not, I wasn't even paying myself, right? I didn't start paying myself until 2021. So yeah, you know, probably spending where I shouldn't, but 24 is not bad for the first year in business at all.
No.
2021 ended up being 91,000. So it was so close. I know we had that conversation of where I, you know, six figures was my goal. And I was like, oh, 91 doesn't count.
I know. I was like, 91 is the same as 100. You're a six figure coach. And she's like, no, we're 9,000 away. I'm like, no, we're not.
Doesn't count. I know. Fine. I had to do a lot of, you know, selling on myself of how that does count.
Yeah, it does count. But here's why I wanted to bring that up. And I love this because I think everyone can see as we're talking through this timeline that you felt like in 2021, like this was very chaotic. You didn't have all of your T's crossed and your I's dotted. You were selling a bunch of different things. You were trying a group program. You were trying one-on-ones. You were doing monthly. You were doing longer packages. You were doing lots of different things, throwing all the spaghetti at the wall, and you still made $100,000. We're going to call it $100,000. Like you still did, even though you like weren't tracking your money, you weren't paying yourself consistently until the end of the year. Like all of these reasons where you could say that it was not successful or that it was just like, you know, that it was a jobby, like whatever. But you made so much money and helped so many people. And then of course set your business up to scale so much faster in the future. But like there's, I think it's so cool to think about that, that we can be successful even when internally we feel like, what am I even doing?
Yep.
Like what
is even happening? I'm not sure where these things are coming from, but here they are. Yes, that's 100% how I felt. Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels like luck at that point, which we talk about a lot in the program, especially the beginning stages of your business. Like your brain will tell you it was a fluke. This isn't sustainable. It was just luck. I don't know how that happened. It's not going to repeat. We can't count on it. Of course, we think all of these thoughts, none of them are true or useful at all, but it feels true in the moment till you look back on it. You're like, oh, wait a second. No, that totally was repeatable. It's still repeating. Yep. It's still working.
Yep. I think only recently over the last couple of months has it felt like, oh, okay, this isn't luck. People know me for this. This is what they're finally sending me, you know, sending people to me for. Other practitioners that I've never talked to that are referring people my way. I think that's eventually when it started to feel like, okay, this is me and what I'm known for. But before that, for sure, it's like, oh gosh, I'm just piecing things together. Good thing that person sent me someone, or good thing that one, that person Googled me and somehow my name popped up. At least I've got that.
That's totally not repeatable, but good thing that happened. Yeah. Yes. So good. So then we started the mastermind in April and like really dove into your offer and your process and like naming it and all of that. It like that was so not that long ago, but it seems like so much has changed since then. So you really isolated your big fat positive process and like that being your offer, like all roads lead to Rome offer, even though you secretly were selling other things in the meantime.
That wasn't so good.
Yeah. So let's talk about that because everyone is probably thinking the same thing. So let's just go there.
Yes. I mean, in consultations, before consultations, I'll write down a couple of different options so that I have all my ducks in a row and I know what I'm going to offer. And then, of course, as soon as their name pops up on the screen, I start talking myself out of it. What can I get of instead? So we would go through the consultations, and I think I was subconsciously, but kind of intentionally, finding reasons that they wouldn't fit the program. Like, this isn't perfect for them because... And weeding them out of it so that then I could offer them a 7K program instead, which is still a lot of money. It's really not that different. To them, it probably doesn't feel different at all. But then again, here I am doing this disservice to them and to my business because I'm offering them less. I think kind of discovered later that if they saw that program online and I didn't offer it to them, but I offered them something else, why wouldn't they think that I have less faith that they're going to reach that goal? Because I didn't offer them the guarantee. I offered them something that still costs a good amount of money, but with no guarantees. So I can definitely see why a lot of them never committed to it, never agreed to it, because they don't have faith in themselves. And if I don't have faith in them, well, they're not going to do that.
Yeah. It's so good. We've had so much fun coaching on this throughout the mastermind on just like really teasing out these little small subtle thoughts that were causing you in your consults to bail at the last minute on offering them the 10K big fat positive. It's been so fun because our brains are like just so predictable.
Not this time, I'll offer it to the next couple.
Not this one. But now you are offering it and selling it and you've had an amazing year. So do you want to talk about like this year?
Yeah. I mean, definitely didn't hit my goal, but that's fine. I think I shot for the stars again. Probably end up somewhere around 150, which is
amazing.
I mean, it's so 57% over last year. When I did my, I went ahead and just did all the numbers that will be due the beginning of January, the highest rolling 12 out of all of the rolling 12s. I mean, so things are still going up. And definitely excited to see where it goes, for sure.
Absolutely. I am so happy for you. I just, like, I love it. I think that the reason I love it so much is because it isn't like you aren't having drama in your mind.
It isn't like,
I'm just going to sit back and, like, people just wire me $10,000 every day and it just happens and I'm not even trying. It's not like that at all. You're very actively working at this. And it still is working. And your clients are getting insane results, which is so thrilling.
It is fascinating to break the numbers down and be like, oh, that's it. That's all I need to be able to reach that. So if I want to do 450 next year, oh, I only need this many couples. But then immediately after, you're like, oh no, I can't do that. I'm not going to offer this to anybody. But it can be so easy to get there. But then you start blocking yourself and thinking, oh no, I'll never do that.
Yeah, you're totally doing 450 in 2023.
I hope so.
Absolutely. I have no question about this whatsoever.
Doesn't have to be difficult either. I think I have a lot of drama around that sometimes too, is that I have free time. So I think if I have free time, then this is all a fluke and my business is going to start tanking. And that's just not true.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that. I think that that's so helpful. I have lots of these same thoughts about if I have extra time, if I've been very efficient and gotten things done quickly, and then I should be getting ahead and working more instead of enjoying the rest time that I've created in my life, which is why I want to do that in the first place. Yeah. So tell us about that.
I mean, I feel like it's a big societal thing, right? I mean, I came from working 80 hours a week, just being a freaking GM of a bar, on call 24 hours a day. You know, you get home at 6 a.m., you got to be back at 9 a.m. If you're not there, things are falling apart. The place is going to go up in fire. So you just get addicted to going, 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 going. And we're always told you have to, like, hustle culture is, you know, probably a thing. And it's an interesting balance because you can't sit idly by and expect everything just to show up, but you also shouldn't work more and expect it to show up either, because you reach a limit to where these are the things you need to do. These are the things you do not need to do. That's busy work. Busy work doesn't bring in. So it's still a work in progress with me, where I work on not feeling guilty for taking the time out to not to work on things. But, you know, I have my to-do list. If I've done my to-do list and I know my clients are taken care of, it's what it is. I can take
it off. Is.
Yeah. It's hard.
It can be hard, though, to enjoy the rest and to actually slow down. I find this for myself. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but I find this for myself where I'm like, okay, I have to really get into a zone of we're not working, we're not thinking about work, we're not listening to a podcast that's going to help, like, business in some way. No. Actually not working.
Oh, it's hard. Yeah. Very hard.
It is. Because our businesses are like hobbies. I mean, if you love your business and it's fun, it's like a challenge. It's like a hobby. It's, I don't know. So there's a balance there. In some ways, I just enjoy it and I love it and I'm okay with it. But then I do have to intentionally unplug.
Well, that's the conversation I have with myself a lot, where it's, okay, I don't need to take all of these continuing education. I don't need to read this other book. Do I have the information I need to help my clients? Yes. Okay. Then I don't need more, but then I enjoy the more. I enjoy learning. So figuring out if I'm doing it just for pure enjoyment or if I'm doing it because I think I have to have that knowledge to help somebody else. It's such a different thing, and parsing that apart has been quite the process for sure.
Yes.
It's hard, and you'll trick yourself into thinking it's
good. Well, it's like, no, this is just enjoyment, but really you're like creating an entire webinar around it mentally. Yes, I understand. I totally understand. Okay. So I want to look through my questions I was going to ask you. I know. I was going to take you to the like positive land where you have to tell me the good things. What has been the easiest part of growing your practice and selling a premium offer?
That's a good question. The easiest part, well, I mean, I just really enjoy it, right? I mean, it's the niche that I picked is, I've never wavered from it. I mean, there might have been times where I thought, oh my gosh, what am I doing? This is high pressure. Let me just go work on gut health or something. But it's been easy because I really enjoy it and I really enjoy the people I work with, the clients that I help. It just feels meaningful. I personally just enjoy being able to do something that I feel like the conventional medical community can't. So that kind of
helps
me a little bit. And sticking it to them for sure. I don't know if I should admit that out loud, but you know.
I love it. Okay. So what do you think is going to be the easiest part of making $450K in 2023?
Well, the 10K offer makes it pretty easy. And I know it will snowball from there. I know, you know, you just get this amount of couples and then they get success and then they will tell other people. So it adds up very quickly.
Yeah. So just the volume.
Yeah.
Like
without all the extra hours, it definitely adds up for sure. And not in a greedy way, but just if I stick to what I should be doing, it's not that I don't have to sign 100 clients a month for that to happen. So,
right. Yeah. That's so exciting. Okay. So what would you tell someone that is like at an earlier stage of business than you that you wish you had known? Is there anything we didn't cover already that you just wish you had known?
Well, I definitely wish I would have found your program earlier because the first thing I learned in it is to not have three different offers. And I had the group program. I had a self-paced online program. I had the one-on-ones, probably something else. I had meal plans at one point. I was doing other things.
All of them.
And I was confusing everybody for sure. They didn't know what was right for them. And I was confusing myself. So definitely to stick to the one thing, get good at the one thing, and then move on.
So this episode is coming out before enrollment for the Mastermind opens in February. So I know people are going to be listening to this and specifically probably wondering about what the difference has been for you going from the Profitable Nutritionist program into the Small Group Mastermind. Is there anything like specifically that you've learned in the Mastermind that you want to talk about?
I know for sure without the Mastermind, I would not have the offer that I do. There's no way I would have had the balls to come up with that ever.
Really?
No.
Okay. Oh, this is interesting.
I wouldn't have dreamed that. And then if I didn't have the accountability every week of people, you know, in our group and saying, okay, what are you doing? What did you offer that? How many people have pulled up? I think I would have shrank back down and hid and said, at one point, look at what I was going to offer people. And I would have ran away from it. But it's also very inspiring to get around people who are at that same level. So that you can keep shooting for something bigger as well. That's what I
said. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm 100% in agreement. I have seen like my business has just exploded from putting myself in a room of people that think really big. Like, I mean, you know, of course there's strategy that comes with it. And of course there's other stuff that you learn, but I think just having conversations that you don't have with people in your real life all of the time. You don't have necessarily people in your personal sphere of influence that have conversations about high level goals and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I agree. Mastermind is cool.
Yes, it is.
All right. Anything that we didn't cover that you wanted to make sure you said today?
Oh, I don't think so. Not really. Just play the long game. You got to keep going.
Play the long game.
Yeah.
Okay, where do people find you and where do they send all of their infertile friends and family?
Yeah, so we're gonna create all the babies. TheNourishingTreeLouisville.com. Instagram is NourishingTreeLou. But, you know, no, you're not on there. So
I'm not on there, but if you're on there, you go follow. It'll all be linked up in the show notes for sure. Can I just say like how amazing your success rate is of your program? So could we talk about that for just – no, I'll talk about it. You're not going to say it, so I'm going to say it. Okay. So, well, no, you have the qualifier. I don't know the exact qualifier.
Well, that's fair. So, yeah, there are qualifiers, right? Because it does matter. The couple. So it has to be both partners that have gone through the program and done what they were supposed to do without sabotaging. So if they've completed the program, it's 100% success rate with getting pregnant and 66% for staying pregnant, full-term healthy pregnancy.
So incredible. So incredible. So obviously send anyone in need of those kinds of results to you, which they will do. And thank you for coming on today.
Oh, it's been a joy.
It's kind of fun to go back through memory lane and walk through what has just actually been pretty recently, just the last couple of years, but a lot has changed for you. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Just a second. Have you taken the Profitable Practice Philosophies free course yet? That's PPP for short, by the way. What are you waiting for? The free course is a 10-part, highly actionable roadmap for making more money in your holistic nutrition practice, even if you're starting from scratch. You'll get one task to do each day delivered straight to your inbox as soon as you sign up at theprofitablenutritionist.com/free. Again, sign up for the Profitable Practice Philosophies free course, the PPP, as the case may be, at theprofitablenutritionist.com/free.